Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I'm your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about living from the truth of being as a precious resource equally available to all. In this show, we will discuss the value of truth in everyday situations and circumstances when it is evidenced by demonstration. Listen as we explain the function of divine omnipresence to the individual as the importance of the ventriloquist is to the dummy. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine principle. Swami, what I'd like to do first is talk to you a little bit about the title of today's show, and that is Life Without Principle is Money Without Gold. Well, first I want to talk about what is principle mean in this title?
Yeah, well, we're talking about here where principle is the power of the creative principle. It's the power of the universe. And it really is the only power in existence. And what we really mean by power is we're talking about something that is self-existent, that it doesn't rely on anything else for its existence. It's not dependent. We're always talking about being codependent. This divine principle is independent and it's self-existent.
So we're talking about life without this principle would be the same thing, money, if it wasn't backed by gold.
Right. And I think that's something that we really want to talk about here is this concept of life without principle, because just about any human problem that you look at is going to peel back and reveal itself as being a belief in something other than this one divine life. And so you start to understand that this becomes a one-size-fits-all solution to a lot of the things that most of us are struggling with.
So how would somebody know if they're living their life without this principle?
If anything in your life appears without divine attributes, so any form of discord, lack, limitation, sickness, suffering, pain, these are all indicators of a life without principle. Yeah, and like you said, money without the backing of gold is worthless. The same is true about life without principle. And principle in this model is spiritual power, the invisible, intangible life force. And to try and live without awareness of it is death. And that's pretty much what it tells us in the Bible, that ye are dead and your life is found with Christ in God. The more that we start to understand and interpret scripture and then employ it, try and find what this union with the divine really is, and not just getting off at the level of belief, which is where most of us discontinue our search. And we feel that I believe in God. And so as a result, we continue on that level of belief. But a major problem with that is belief is only going to get you the promise of God. And what we really want here is we want the experience of God. We want to be able to demonstrate this divine law, this divine principle in our experiences?
Well, in the opening, we said we were going to talk about living from the truth of being as a precious resource equally available to all. So it doesn't matter who you are, it's equally available. But living from the truth of being, what does that look like when we're doing it?
Well, we have awareness of this divine omnipresence, that we realize that this one divine life is all, and it is omnipotent, omniscient. It's all-knowing. It's all-powerful. But if we don't have awareness of it, and we are individualized from world thought, mortal mind, and we have a belief in two powers, we're unconscious of this divine omnipresence, and as a result, we're not under the protection of divine law. All we have really is our belief in this concept of God, which really has no principle behind it. It has no power. And we're left pretty much to the mercy of world thought at that point. And that's a big part of what we're trying to learn here, is that divine omnipresence is a demonstrable scientific principle. It's a law.
Well, let's talk more about the value of this truth in our everyday situations and circumstances. And you're talking that it's evidenced by demonstration. So if I'm in a supermarket, what can I look forward to seeing that would demonstrate this truth?
Well, basically, it starts with the commandments that you must love this Lord God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then the whole concept of love your neighbor as yourself. In order for us to really do this successfully, we have to understand what these terms mean. That to love your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean that you love your neighbor as your neighbor. That we must really start to understand the divine idea behind appearance, behind what is showing itself to you on a sense level, is the truth of being. That our senses are just giving us our thought, or world thought, mortal thought about this truth of being. And the truth of being, which is referred to as thy kingdom in the Bible, is right here. It's right now. It's not something that we have to wait till we transition to have access to it. We have to recognize it and have a certain degree of fidelity to it. We have to develop, first of all, a belief in it that will eventually graduate into faith, and then finally into an understanding of this principle. And from that vantage point, that's what we're really talking about. That's when it starts to yield the dividends that we're talking about, that this isn't the old theology. You know, we believe in God and we live a good human life and we get our reward in the end. We learn this divine omnipresence is right here, right now. And provided that we create the ability to communicate with it, we can live under the jurisdiction of this divine law. And when we do, we are living by grace. We're no longer living by the rules of the world. We're now living by the grace of God that they talk about in the Bible, and it does the work.
Well, that phrase, evidenced by demonstration, you don't just mean being kind to one another. You're talking about something that's a little bit more deeper than that.
Yeah, we're talking about correcting the testimony of our senses. We're talking about dominion over the appearances of this world. That's what the Bible is promising us. In order to do that with any degree of success, We have to understand how it works. And in order to understand it, you have to start with a principle. You have to know this truth that divine creation is right here, it's right now, and it's absolutely perfect. It's fulfilled. And if what is appearing in your five senses doesn't have that divine quality, then the interference is coming from your thought about what's there. And that's, again, coming to what we learned in Christian Science, this term repent, to think differently. That we have to start to move beyond mortal thought and human conjecture, and we have to start to see things through divine mind, this one mind.
I'd like to ask you to talk to us about the symbolism between the ventriloquist and the dummy.
Yeah, because isn't that an interesting thing that we're actually the dummy trying to live without the ventriloquist? When we are unconscious of this divine omnipresence, we're the dummy without the ventriloquist. And in the Bible, it tells us that we are the branch cut off from the vine at that point. But that's only symbolic. In truth, we are the expression of this indestructible principle. We are the image and likeness of this eternal life. But we have accepted this false sense of life, this mortal life that isn't even there. It isn't even real. And then we spend most of our time trying to figure out how the unreal became real. When in truth, we ought to start to really just work on recognizing the unreal as unreal, and then start to develop a relationship with this spiritual principle that will become your go-to for solution for all your problems.
Well, how does somebody start to do that? How does somebody start to build that relationship?
Well, you start by knowing that it is here, that this divine omnipresence is right here, right now. You also have to know that it's invisible and intangible. So we're looking for something that doesn't report in our five senses. So to reverse engineer that, anything that is giving you stimulation on a sense level, you have to start to rebuke. You have to realize that this isn't the truth of being. In the Bible, it gives you a great clue when it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then to start to understand spiritual science, you reverse engineer everything. So you take a simple statement, "Be still and know that I am God." The reverse must be true, that to know that I am God, I would be still. So you're looking for silence. You're looking for stillness. You're looking for the void or the nothing. And the reason why we're doing that is because we're rising above duality. We're rising above sense level living. And then you make your mind an avenue of awareness for this divine omnipresence. And you let it reveal itself to you, that when spirit speaks to you, and it won't be in your normal mode of communication, it won't be the same as your neighbor talking to you, but it will be unique to you individually.
Well, I think I want to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
And welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to talk more about the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know most of us probably were brought up in church saying those words, but I don't think as children we really understood what it was we were saying. I'm wondering if maybe you can shed some light on that for us.
Well, I can honestly say that as an adult, I didn't know what it said, because I thought anything that was happening on earth was the will of God. But that's not exactly how this plays out at all in divine science, because the will of God is the perfection of being. And what's happening on earth for most of us is just our thought about this will of the Father. And the reason why we lack leadership in this is because very few people really understand scripture. But the more that you work with this divine principle that the will of the Father is the perfection of being, and that when the will of the Father reveals itself as this truth of being, it will correct what we're experiencing on earth. And it kind of reminds me of what C.S. Lewis said in his writings, where he mentioned something to the effect that aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. Aim for earth, you get neither. The unfortunate thing for humanity is that it seems that religion doesn't really understand this divine principle, this divine law that was revealed through what was called the Christ, the Messiah. It is this interpreter that makes divine omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness.
So the phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, how do we know if it's God's will on earth? Because my understanding is that everything that happens in our experience is this mortal mind.
Exactly. Until the individual repents, thinks differently, that we actually let go of my will, personal sense, this false sense that I am separate from the divine spirit, and I make my mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind. And I let divine mind express itself through me. That's the only way that we're really doing the Father's will on earth. But in order to do that, we have to forsake all our modes of mortal thought, human thought, for this divine knowing, for this truth.
This sounds like it's something of a rebirth then that happens.
Right. In fact, it says that in the Bible. And to be reborn, what is meant by born is to come into view, to appear, made manifest, or visible and tangible. We must be reborn of the Spirit, though. Otherwise, we're a branch cut off from the vine until we rejoin with this self-existent source, which is invisible and intangible. But you can't just do this intellectually, academically, that you really have to internalize Spirit as your source of validation. You must Christians call it love God. Buddhists call it desire nothing. But you have to internalize this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as what it is that you rely on for your sense of well-being. And when we do that, then we're drawing from the right source.
So what would be the benefit to us for keeping this consciousness at the same level of this divine principle?
Well, for one, when you find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea, that's when you have this unity. This is this union of the individual with the divine. And from there, you open the channels of communication. Keeping consciousness in constant contact with divine omnipresence gives us the backing of divine principle. It's one thing to be able to know this stuff academically, intellectually, but to be spiritual, to know yourself in the way that you are known by the Creator, then starts to elevate your belief into this level of faith. And another important thing to understand, Mary Baker Eddy in her book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 167-6 makes a statement, "We apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it." That's such an important statement that she says there because spirit testifies with deed. Using the testimony of the senses to ensure we are indeed worshiping the one divine life and not living in sin or missing the mark is how we troubleshoot what we're doing. The message of the Christ was to heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. This was a very proactive science Jesus was teaching. And it really begins with knowing this principle, to know this truth. Spirit is cause, and the will of the Father is perfect. And it's as perfect in heaven as it will appear on earth. Once we start to shift from thinking with this five-sense mind and accepting mortality, and we repent and we start to think with divine mind and raise ourselves into immortality.
I know you've said before, shifting from a resource-based economy to a spirit-based economy. I'm wondering if maybe you can delve a little deeper with that for us.
Yeah, years ago, we did a show on monetary-based economy to resource-based economy. And we were really trying to accommodate the needs of this false sense of existence. We were saying to really start to use what you really do need to validate yourself. But even if you're using air, it is still something that's invisible but tangible. And in order to activate the physics of spirituality, like attracts like, you're still working on a sense level of existence. So we want to even rise out of a resource-based economy into a spirit-based economy. You have to know that you are an eternal spiritual being, that you're the expression of an indestructible principle. You give up material identity. You give up your belief in matter, and you assume spiritual identity.
And speaking of shows that we've done before, I see in our notes here that we want to talk about a show that we did called Sex Out of Marriage is a Sin. And that could be similar to what we're talking about today.
Right. Well, again, sex out of marriage is a sin. We were really talking about trying to get this physical union without these other deeper mental and spiritual unions in place. And you start to see how our relationships struggle and in a lot of ways fail. And the main reason is because there's no principle. You're not working with the power of the vow, because the vow isn't between humans. The vow is the promise between the human and the divine. And so if we make this internal connection to the divine spiritual truth of being, then we're backed by divine law.
Swami, what does it look like when we have this union with the divine?
Yeah, at some point, mortal reason steps through the open door of revelation, and divine mind takes over the scientific government of being. That we now let this divine omnipresence, this one divine life, express itself through us. We take no thought. We forsake all our human modes of existence. When we no longer have a belief in matter and we are spirit, we have no needs. We are completely fulfilled.
So my next question has to do with how we think about our values and why would that be important?
Well, I think our values, which is like our second house in astrology, becomes a big part of our reality. What an individual thinks is important. What we desire is what we think is valuable. We're not victims of circumstances. Humans have choice, and we can change by changing how we think. The optimal move is to leave the modes of mortal thought and mortal belief for divine truth with principle.
What do you mean by modes of mortal thought? What would be the modes?
In Kriya Yoga, we use the lower mind, Gemini, the mid mind, Virgo, and the higher mind, Sagittarius. The lower mind is instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. The mid-mind would be human intelligence, and the higher mind would be the collective consciousness, world mind.
And then my last question for you maybe would be, let's talk about apotheosis for a moment.
Yeah, apotheosis is the process of the individual becoming divine. And it's really mirrored by this graduation from belief to faith in spirit to understanding of truth. So we can, most of us work on belief. In fact, the entire human scene is driven by belief. Now, if you have faith in this one divine life, this one divine spirit, that faith, that belief will graduate into what was called faith. And the difference between belief and faith is that faith starts to reveal itself externally a little bit more until eventually we reach understanding where we're able to demonstrate the presence of the divine.
Well, I do think we have to start closing down the show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. When that comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you click that on and that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also on the homepage, you click on Products tab and then Online Classes, that will direct you to all the classes Swami has available to you online for your continued learning experiences. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine principle. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.